This paper has been slightly modified to optimize your listening experience. While we have included a brief description of the figures and tables, all references, citations, parentheses, appendices, footnotes and endnotes have been removed. To obtain these tables, figures, quotes, appendices, full references and citations for this paper, please view the HTML or PDF version at the iRodul website, www.irodul.org. The copyright for this article belongs to the authors and is openly released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License. International Review of Research in Open and Distributed Learning, Volume 20, Number 3, July 2019. The title of this article is A Scoping Review of Video Conferencing Systems in Higher Education, Learning Paradigms, Opportunities, and Challenges. The author of this article is Hossam Al-Samari of the School of Media and Performing Arts, Coventry University, UK. Abstract. Video conferencing as a learning tool has been widely used among educators and learners in order to induce effective communication between learners and teachers or learners and their peers, especially when face-to-face means are not possible. Different types of video conferencing platforms or systems have emerged for use in today's higher education institutions. Previous research has focused on examining the potential of three different forms of video conferencing systems: desktop video conferencing, interactive video conferencing, and web video conferencing. In this study, a review of the literature was conducted to increase the current knowledge regarding the use of these video conferencing systems. A classification of the video conferencing paradigms from the constructivism and cognitivism perspectives was provided. The summary of the results for these video conferencing systems revealed specific learning opportunities, outcomes, and challenges for both learners and instructors. The results suggest that current policy and teaching strategies are not ready to provide an accessible and comprehensive learning experience in DVC and IVC, relative to previously conducted studies regarding the use of video conferencing in higher education. This study offers a broader consideration of relevant challenges that emerge when using certain video conferencing systems in both learning and teaching situations. Keywords: computer-mediated communication, distance education, telelearning, improving classroom teaching, lifelong learning. Introduction. The current movement toward creating a comprehensive learning experience via the internet by most higher education institutions, in both developing and developed countries, appears to be increasing the use of advanced information and communication technology in higher education. This movement requires engaging students in a learning space that is compatible with their abilities and surrounding context. In addition, the cognitive nature of a learning task typically demands an effective medium for creating and sharing ideas among group members. Creating a comprehensive learning experience online also requires continuous updating of technology to ensure its integrity for use in delivering instruction. From this, video communications technologies have been used to enable more authentic learner-learner interaction in virtual environments. In higher education, video conferencing, whether it is accessed via the web or desktop, is considered one of the most commonly used tools for facilitating learners' self-directed use of technology in a synchronous mode. Previous studies on the effectiveness of video conferencing in education have reported that various environmental and individual dimensions influence the learning experience of students. Lawson, Comer, Gage, and Cullum Hanshaw suggest that individuals' learning experiences can be changed by using different modes or forms of communication within and across different learning environments. In his research, Coventry demonstrates how video conferencing can be put into a learning framework by taking a learner-centered rather than technology-centered approach, while also highlighting that institutions must have a clear understanding of video conferencing capabilities before committing to the use of video conferencing technology. Thus, the effective use of teleconferencing services can be associated with the technological readiness of an organization. Pitcher, Davidson, and Napier, on the other hand, address the need for exploiting opportunities offered by different video conferencing systems to facilitate learners' interaction and collaboration. This requires careful modification of the conventional lecturing in order to meet the video conferencing standards and needs. Thus, it is evident that video and audio conferencing are considered as more complex communication channels than face-to-face communication, where learning outcomes expected from using certain types of video conferencing systems may vary from one context to another based on the available IT resources. With the use of cutting-edge teleconferencing tools in different educational environments, there is still a notable lack of research to demonstrate the current use of video conferencing in the higher education of developing and developed countries. Furthermore, previous studies have not sufficiently addressed the specific opportunities and challenges related to the use of different types of video conferencing systems to the policy makers of higher education, which may promote current efforts for the delivery of effective distance learning experiences. According to Lawson et al., the impact of video conferencing on how learners learn and interact may serve certain educational objectives, and therefore video conferencing must be adapted in certain learning circumstances. Based on these observations, the research study at hand reviewed the existing literature concerning the use of desktop video conferencing, interactive video conferencing, and web video conferencing to identify how their use may contribute to the learning of students, as well as to identify the specific challenges associated with DVC, IVC, and WVC. In addition, a classification of the video conferencing paradigms from the constructivist and cognitivist perspectives was formulated. Video conferencing, an illustration of different types. Video conference technology is a communication medium that allows connected users to share visual and audio facilities in real time. It also allows registered users to transmit files, slides, static images, and text through the platform being used. As the bandwidth availability, networks, and the speed of computers have dramatically increased in developed countries and most developing countries, using video conferencing has become more feasible and realistic for professional organizations, school districts, and universities. However, even with a high-speed network, using certain video conferencing systems may imply different experiences in accordance to the usage purpose and environmental conditions. According to Campbell, interaction between students to students and students to instructors in video conferencing environments have opened new opportunities for advancing the delivery of traditional pedagogies. Many instructors use video conferencing services to promote problem-solving development and competency among students and themselves. However, synchronous video conferencing systems may not necessarily deliver the required set of learning outcomes and an enhanced pedagogy to users, which poses new challenges to higher education. For the purpose of the study at hand, we argue that students' exposure to different types of video conferencing systems may offer different learning experiences and outcomes. Our review of the literature led to the identification of three types of video conferencing systems. Figure 1 shows a visual illustration of video conferencing in its three forms. Figure 1, an illustration of different video conferencing types. As depicted in Figure 1, DVC is a type of video conferencing which offers a group of people multiple channels of communication to discuss and learn about relevant issues and to solve certain learning problems. DVC supports multiple modes of interaction including many-to-many, one-to-many, many-to-one, and one-to-one. It also provides a unique advantage to university members by allowing individuals to access and engage in active discussion via specially configured computers and systems that can be installed and used on their own computers. Also depicted in Figure 1, IVC is a type of video conferencing that requires fixed environmental settings and advanced configuration to maintain the interaction between instructor and students. This type of service supports one-to-many interaction where instructors deliver their courses to the students in real time. It is suitable for conducting classes and trainings in distant locations. Meetings supported by IVC are usually aided by multimedia elements to facilitate the learning and teaching of the subject. Lastly, WVC is a type of video conferencing that allows learners and instructors from different places to participate in web-based discussions, and is a particularly popular mean for promoting communication between students and their instructors. The key advantage of WVC is that, unlike when using DVC and IVC solutions, students and other faculty members are not fixed to a certain hardware and software requirements. In the light of these criteria, university students are commonly perceived to use all three of these communication tools for the purpose of engaging in dialogue and problem solving. However, the current literature does not clearly distinguish the impact of each type of video conferencing on students' learning in a university context. Thus, we conducted a scoping review of the literature to provide necessary information regarding the learning paradigms, opportunities, and challenges of DVC, IVC, and WVC usage in higher education. Table 1 presents a comparison between DVC, IVC, and WVC from different technical, interaction, and organizational perspectives. Table 1. Comparison between DVC, IVC, and WVC systems. method. In this work, we paid special attention to the role of DVC, IVC, and WVC systems in promoting students' learning at the university level. The review was guided by the following research questions. How can certain video conferencing types be used to support learning paradigms? And what are the learning opportunities and challenges related to the use of these systems? Figure 2 shows the search and selection flow chart of research articles, retrieved from different databases such as ACM, ASHA, Oxford University Press, Science Direct, EBSCO, SicInfo, SocIndex, Emerald, and IEEE. Figure 2. Article selection flow chart. The analysis of previous works was based on the recommendations of Srivastava and followed these steps. Defining unit of analysis, previous research papers, chapters, and theses on the use of video conferencing systems in higher education were defined as the unit of analysis in this review. The argument as to why higher education ought to be more concerned with the use of certain video conferencing systems is mainly to encourage active learner-centered education in hybrid learning environments. This includes the changing learning needs of society and the impact of new technologies on educational policies. Collecting publications. Our literature review focused on English peer-reviewed journals, since they are the most common resources for information exchange among researchers. Since video conferencing in higher education was first officially used 1995, we searched for articles published between the years of 1995 and 2018, and our search included examples of video conferencing being used in a multitude of learning situations circumstances. We used different combinations of keywords to perform the search, such as video conferencing in higher education, desktop video conferencing in university, online web video conferencing services, video conferencing in distance education learning, teleconferencing for learning purposes, interactive video conferencing, and collaborative video conferencing. We also included more specific terms such as interactive video communication, desktop video system, video conferencing for distance learning, and web video system. A total of 1,443 articles were then stored and prepared for further screening and selection. Only empirical studies that investigated the direct impact of the three types of video conferencing systems on students' learning were included in this review. Articles that did not explain the evaluation procedure and use of certain video conferencing systems were not considered. Other studies that investigated the effect of video conferencing, supported by other communication or tools such as the Blackboard learning environment, were also not considered. This is because the outcomes that emerged within these studies may not have been purely from the video conferencing experience itself, but instead influenced by the other communication tools used in combination with video conferencing. We also excluded studies that explored students' general use of video conferencing in circumstances outside of learning. Out of the 335 articles identified, only 31 articles met the inclusion criteria of the study. Classification context. This review investigated three main schemes, DVC, IVC, and WVC. The 31 articles selected were classified and reviewed according to these schemes. Material evaluation. The overall quality of the 31 studies was assessed by three experienced experts in the educational field, who scored the studies on a scale of 1-3 based on 1. Appropriateness of the method, 2. Relevance to the context of focus, and 3. Credibility and validity. We measured the weight of each study by summing scores of each of the three dimensions. Then, we performed the inter-ATAR reliability test, which resulted in 0.91 agreement between the experts. Ultimately, all the 31 articles were found to fulfill this study's criteria and focus. Results. The results of the comparison between different studies on video conferencing use in higher education are presented in Table 1. Below is a description of these studies according to the type of video conferencing system used. Table 2. A review of studies about video conferencing use in higher education, video conferencing systems and learning paradigms. Understanding how certain technologies can be informed by the existing learning paradigms, such as constructivism and cognitivism, is essential for educational policy makers, as it allows them to enhance students' learning experience through the redesign of existing hybrid instructional models. Therefore, a detailed review of the literature on how video conferencing systems have been used to fulfill the learning goals of these paradigms is necessary. An illustration of the video conferencing paradigms from the constructivist and cognitivist perspectives is shown in Figure 3. The perspective of constructivist approach to knowledge construction and learning, we believe, can be well supported with the use of video conferencing through a variety of collaborative learning tasks, interaction and reflection, and problem-solving conditions, which can offer the field of distance education alternative student-centered approaches to teaching and learning in hybrid courses. These constructivist activities in DVC and WVC can replace the traditional student-teacher model of distance instruction, which consists of working with a limited number of classroom environments and tools in order to support the knowledge construction process. In addition, DVC and WVC can support students' interpretation of a learning problem through providing students the opportunity to engage in various learning activities. Instructors can use these video conferencing systems to accurately assess the actual teamwork process and contribute to the construction of knowledge by interacting with students to help them reflect on their response to the learning task and to the learning environment. The supportive communication provided in DVC can offer some great pedagogical value, such as sharing, presentation, and file transfer for learners to create external representations of theoretical concepts, evidence, and personal elaborations. Figure 3. Video conferencing paradigms. From the cognitivist perspective, DVC, IVC, and WVC can be used to facilitate individuals' acquisition of information and knowledge from others by providing additional dialogue activities as a means of developing dialogue skills. This includes facilitating the development of the encoding process of learning materials that might facilitate later transfer. These systems can also be used to provide the means for students to transfer knowledge in the most efficient, effective manner possible by providing the necessary feedback to resolve ambiguities. The provision of additional dialogue activities for information recall demonstrates the potential value of interaction in these video conferencing systems, as well as improve information encoding and retrieval. IVC can be used to support effortless elaboration on a subject and the development of lesson content using the students' responses, which could both increase the recall of information and make the information more meaningful. Both DVC and WVC can provide authentic learning opportunities that take place when a student communicates with the instructor online, thus promoting the acquisition of knowledge. DVC and WVC may also allow and encourage students to make connections with previously learned material by facilitating the recall of prerequisite skills and use of relevant resources. Opportunities and challenges of DVC, IVC, and WVC. Based on the review of previous studies, the major learning opportunities that emerged from the use of DVC, IVC, and WVC are discussed below. Major challenges regarding the use of these systems are also addressed to help educational decision makers understand the different technical, individual, and organizational factors that may impact learning through video conferencing. Desktop video conferencing. Our review of the literature revealed that the majority of previous studies used DVC mainly to promote knowledge development and attitude-related outcomes. For example, Fillion, Limayam, and Bouchard stated that DVC sessions can be used to increase students' motivation and satisfaction of the course. In the context of linguistics, Lee found that speakers' linguistic variations were mostly affected by their degree of interactivity in the DVC session. Jung reported that the constant use of DVC has the potential to develop students' language competence by promoting participation in cross-cultural communication. In their research, Fitzsimmons and Turner suggest that DVC can promote students' participation in collaborative project-based learning by engaging students in the process of problem-solving and allowing them to effectively apply theory to practice. DVC has been recognized as a system which can provide the means for students to generate a wider range of voices, as well as to allow them to record meetings and ask questions freely. DVC can also be used to facilitate progressive development in cultural competency among students coming from different backgrounds. However, some challenges of DVC were also reported in the literature. For example, Hampel and Stickler suggest that in DVC, interaction is often limited due to only one person usually being allowed to speak at a time, which may thus impact turn-taking and back-channeling, as well as led to interruptions. Hortus, Sefcik, Wilson, McDaniel, and Zemper stated that the main challenges of using this DVC in learning include difficulties related to the design of meeting rooms and lack of built-in microphones. They found that students who learned in DVC settings performed no differently than those who attended live lectures. In addition, Ertl, Fisher, and Mandel observed no effect of DVC on learners' outcomes in collaborative learning settings, as students found it difficult to make use of the relevant support strategies for expressing themselves freely during the discussion. Meanwhile, Students' contribution to the discussion or problem-solving session was improperly distributed among themselves. In light of these observations, it can be deduced that DVC effectiveness for higher education teaching and learning still need be further explored. Interactive video conferencing. Previous studies have used IVC to promote students' academic performance. These studies claimed that using IVC can provide students with a close-up viewing and direct interaction with the instructor, as compared to the web and desktop types. However, some studies perceived IVC to be inconvenient for learning complex knowledge. For example, Kidd and Stamaticus claimed that students' performance and satisfaction with IVC were lower than that of those who learned in a classroom setting. Considering various behavioral and environmental elements, Birch, Callis, Rubin, Caputo, and Ricci showed no significant differences in students' achievement when participating and interacting in IVC sessions compared to regular classroom lectures. It appears that the use of this type of video conferencing system is less preferred than attending the usual classroom. This can be attributed to the various challenges that IVC may impose on students' learning, which include creating uncertainty and fear among learners that, as a result, may induce misunderstandings among group members. McLaughlin, Superna, and Howard added that instructors in the IVC session are required to constantly modify their teaching techniques, which may prove distracting for students and thus decrease the effectiveness of IVC. Furthermore, it is difficult for students and instructors to conduct regular scheduled recitation-type sessions with this type of communication. Other problems related to technical setup and bandwidth stability can also affect the quality of communication in IVC and thus negatively impact teaching and learning. Web video conferencing, WVC, as compared to DVC and IVC, appears to provide a more promising learning environment for students to freely collaborate and communicate effectively through different interaction channels. Most previous studies considered this type of communication to be relevant to students' learning of various topics. As articulated by Gillies, WVC allows students to participate in live interaction with the tutor and share relevant questions as well as exchange arguments in peer-to-peer discussions. In the WVC session, students are more likely to be motivated, because they can simultaneously collaborate with other members using audio-visual communication tools in an activity stream. Although the use of WVC may often lead students to interrupt each other, this type of communication can still play a major role in enhancing learning effectiveness and efficiency through the facilitation of dynamic collaborative effort among group members. Previous studies have also noted the potential of WVC to serve as an assessment tool for directing students' communication, which may increase their sense of autonomy, competency, and relatedness, and thus help them to persist in their engagement. WVC can also be used to facilitate the exchange of ideas during a collaborative effort with regards to geographical placement of team members. Despite these opportunities, several issues were also noted when using WVC in the university context, such as time delay, background noises, and other technical hitches that may influence learners' interaction. Students may face difficulties in maintaining their concentration when the focus is on another side and where the speaker is not visible on the screen. Gispers, Rientes, Gijsselaars, Seegers, and Templer criticized the use of WVC due to compatibility issues found when students attempt to configure their machines. Still, the majority of previous studies are still dominated by the effectiveness of the WVC system to provide exceptional support for students to establish communication and social presence in collaborative learning sessions. A summary of the major learning outcomes reported in the reviewed studies describing the use of DVC, IVC and WVC is presented in Table 3. Table 3, learning outcomes reported in the studies associated with the use of DVC, IVC, and WVC, discussion and conclusion. The review of the literature revealed that there tends to be possible differences in learning outcomes when students learn through different video conferencing systems. The opportunities and challenges of using video conferencing systems in higher education are summarized as follows. Learning opportunities offered by DVC include providing students the opportunity to exchange ideas and resources in a collaborative environment, promoting second language competency and performance. Although most previous studies did not find significant differences between students taking DVC and usual classroom, DVC is still considered to provide some exceptional opportunities for language and medical students. It was also found to advance cultural exchange and understanding among students from different racial ethnic groups and educational establishments. This is due to its role in promoting socio-cognitive processes and structured interfaces that can help to develop students' sense of enjoyment, critical thinking, and autonomy. Challenges implied by this type of communication are more formidable, as reflected by previous studies. Using DVC in higher education still requires further investigation, especially regarding certain environmental effects on students' ability to establish the common sense to solve learning problems and transfer the necessary support strategies throughout the learning session. In addition, the common challenges associated with students' interaction in DVC are derived from the difficulty in handling linguistic variations, turn-taking, interruptions, and back-channeling. The direct interaction with the instructor offered in the IVC environment was found to facilitate students' performance and achievement. Previous studies highlighted the potential of using this technology to help students learn from a close-up viewing with regards to geographical distribution of the instructor. Although IVC enables students to learn from a close-up view, the impact of this close-up view on students' learning was minimal. This can be attributed to the learner's uncertainty and fear to take part in the discussion. WVC offers students and instructors the freedom and flexibility to learn and teach at their own pace. This was mostly reflected by the way in which WVC allows group members to assign roles to one another in their discussions, which is assumed to encourage dynamic cooperative efforts among group members. However, students who are not technology-oriented may be confronted with technical hitches and machine incompatibility. Meanwhile, the constant monitoring of students' progress throughout the session is the key for ensuring a meaningful learning experience in WVC. Such experience would greatly increase students' confidence and interaction to engage in live learning practices, which may enhance their understanding of complex and challenging topics. This study anticipated that current policy and teaching strategies are not ready to provide an accessible comprehensive learning experience in DVC and IVC. From a policy perspective, this is probably because DVC and IVC are generally considered not cost-effective as they require experience to operate, and well-designed environments in order to establish a meaningful interaction among group members and the instructor. As such, more efforts are needed to determine the key antecedents for creating a comprehensive experience in video conferencing environments. Future studies may still need to consider examining certain cognitive and behavioral factors when students engage in IVC and DVC sessions, and how they may be associated with the students' learning outcomes and motives for communicating with other group members and instructors. Finally, additional primary research is needed to further justify how certain learning outcomes can be achieved from the use of certain types of video conferencing systems. Table 4. Major learning opportunities and challenges of DVC, IVC, and WVC reported in the studies. This is the end of the article. The full text of this article is available at the iRodul website, www.irodul.org. Goodbye.